Say it like that. You know, and I don't talk like that. You know, guys talk, you know, you talk to them in person, you know, God did this, and they get in the pulpit. Lord. I know a guy like that. Independent Baptist preacher. Makes me puke. Hey, man, makes me sick. It really does. All right. Well, now, do you know, have you ever heard of the four biggest lies? How many know those? All right, they are this. I already gave at the office. Right? I put it in the mail yesterday. I'm from the IRS, and I'm here to help you. Or, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I'm just going to say a few words. Now, since the pastor got to read a couple of jokes, or one anyway, one a night, right? I get to. Is that permissible? How many have this little book? It's called Children's Letters to God. Oh, you have it? Amen. Can I have it? All I have is just a few excerpts from it. No, I don't want it. Here's a couple of good ones. These are letters, real life letters. Dear God, please put another holiday between Christmas and Easter. There's nothing good in there now. Dear God, thanks for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. All right, here's another one. Got a couple more. Okay. Dear God, did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, then I'm going to fix my brother. One more. All right. Dear God, if we come back as something, please don't let me be Jennifer Horton because I hate her. All right, that's enough. Okay. All right. All righty. Now let's go to tonight. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Right? Okay, I'll do it. Are we on now? There we are. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I suppose, if you want, you can go to Numbers 21. And you can also go to Matthew 11. And as long as your numbers, we'll just kind of, just put markers there, those three places. All right? That way, when I already have markers in my Bible, so I can flip right there. And so can you then. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight, by the way. And tomorrow night, same time, same station, right? Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And we're just having a great time. The Lord's working here. And just thank you for your attention and your responses to the preaching of the Bible. Deuteronomy 32, and we'll look at verse number 48. And here's what it says. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. Behold, look at it. Get a good look at it. And which I give, in verse number 48, unto the children of Israel for a possession and die. What a thing. Go up there and die. Circle it. You know, I circled in my Bible, get thee up, and I circled that, and then I kind of drew it all the way over here at verse number 50, and die. Get thee up and die. In the mount, verse number 50, whither thou goest up and be gathered unto thy people as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. Why? He gives a reason. Verse number 51. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Now that happened 20 years previous. And I don't know, maybe Moses thought, that's what he told the Lord. The Lord told Moses that when he smote that rock, and we're going to look at it just a little bit tonight to refresh your memory, that when he smote that rock, instead of speaking to the rock, you know what I'm talking about? That because of that, you're not going in. And Moses might have thought he forgot, but the Lord doesn't forget. And it takes a long time sometimes for the ship to come in, but they come in. The chickens come home to roost. Amen. All right, look at verse number 52 then. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. No budging with God. You're going to see it. You're going to see the land. Go up there. You're going to die up there. You're going to see the land, but you are not going in. I said you weren't. You're not. Now, I want you to see verse chapter 33 and verse number 1. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. Now let me ask something. Had he done that yet? Nobody. Will he do that? Sure will. So it's something in the future. It's second advent. All right, again. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. And you know, he'll be teaching that law in the millennium. You understand that? Yea, he loved the people. All the saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive thy words. Okay, let's pray. Now, Lord, we thank you for what has transpired here thus far in this meeting. God, you're coming down. Your graciousness, God, you're condescending to us, and your breath upon this meeting. And Lord, how you have spoken to hearts, and folks have been helped and responded to you, and taking the advice from the Scriptures, dear Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. How we thank you tonight that we can say we are saints that have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And God, how we thank you tonight for the Bible, and thank you how it has just, Lord, you didn't leave us without a textbook, a rule book, a way to go after you saved us. You gave us something to guide us and direct us and show us what's right and wrong. And we just thank you for the Bible tonight. And God bless these people. Bless this church and its pastor, and give them something tonight. God, I will certainly disappoint them, but God, you never do. And I ask you to do this, please, dear Lord, for their sake and for your sake. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, now, my title of my message tonight is actually on title. You won't believe this, but I got this message from, I got on his case the other night. I got this message, the thought from it, from... what's the guy's name on the radio that I got on his case? Rush Limbaugh. So I thought you got it from God. Well, the thought came to me here because I'd been thinking about it. But and I'll tell you that in just some more on that in just a second. But I remember we have at our church, we go soul winning just like you do. We have tried to do everything we can to tree the coon. Amen. And get something done for the Lord. We have bus route, we have door to door, we have jail, we have street preaching, just anything, everything we can. We get into that welcome wagon thing, you know, and all the visitors, new visitors into the area. We've done that, and we get prospects and give it to people. We also have what's called a fair ministry. It's called Amazing Grace Mission, and we have a fellow in our church. And he is actually a missionary for them. and he operates a fare booth. And, you know, a number of years ago, we had a whole bunch of professions of faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We do not do the ABC pray after me type stuff. Okay? We sit them down in a little, we have a booth at the fair. And the first year we were there, the Seventh-day Adventists were right across from us, and the Mormons were over there. And all the people flocked to our booth, and they were just watching us all the time. And, of course, they didn't have a booth the next year. Praise the Lord. But we would sit them down away from back here, about that far back from the beginning of the booth, sit them down, open up the Scripture, show them how they're a sinner, and how they need to know that they're under the condemnation of God, they're going to hell, and that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And if they'll trust Jesus Christ and Him alone and His sacrificial death on that cross for them, they can be saved. Whosoever shall... And we do it. And a number of people profess Christ in that right there. And we had a good number of them saved or professed. Okay? Well... You know, I was really excited, and that excites me. I like to see people get saved. I like to see someone sincerely ask Jesus Christ to save them. Now, Sunday, we had, we had a whole bunch. I can't remember the number, but it was as many people in this room during the course of a week. One person came to church. I thought they'd all come. You say, Were you disappointed? You better believe I was disappointed. And so I want to talk to you tonight, though, about disappointed, but not discouraged. Because I was disappointed. And you got to watch that. You got to watch. Listen, I call preachers up. I talk to preachers, and they'll say, I'm really discouraged today. Because something didn't happen yesterday, like didn't happen at our church. And all these visitors didn't come, or all these professions didn't come to church. And I think really many times what they mean is they're disappointed. Because there's a difference between being disappointed and being discouraged. Moses, in verses 49 through 52, there is no doubt in my mind that Moses was not disappointed. He couldn't go into the promised land. But I'll tell you what, he wasn't discouraged. Because chapter 33, verses 1 through 3, he just goes on, doesn't say a thing about it. Doesn't say a thing about it. Doesn't argue with the Lord. Doesn't moan or groan about it. And he just goes on and starts preaching about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, as I'm going to preach on that, I think a definition is in order, okay? And so please listen. A definition of disappointment. Disappointment is the loss of expectation. How many knew that?
Yeah.
Okay? And disappointment... is the loss of a desire. Disappointment is the loss of hope. Hope's dashed, okay? Life is full of disappointments. I mean, come on. I get disappointed every time I look in the mirror. Amen. I get disappointed when I look at you. I mean, some of you are kind of disappointed in the way you sit there like you're sucking on a pickle or a lemon or something. And, there are a lot of disappointments in life. You were disappointed about something today. And it's a loss of an expectation. You expected something that didn't happen. You were disappointed. You hoped for this, and it just didn't come out the way you wanted it to. Disappointed. Now, listen to this. Now, discouragement, then, is the loss of courage. Discourage. It's not the same as disappointment. So when you say, I'm just a... discouraged sometimes. A lot of times, you may just be disappointed. Discouragement means loss of courage, loss of strength. And as I said the other night, D.L. Moody, and I think he should know a lot more about it than I would. He led a lot of people to the Lord and did a great work for God back in the whenevers. And he said that. He said that I've never seen God use a discouraged person, discouraged Christian. Now, you think about that. And disappointments, a lot of times they're our own fault. Amen. That Bible says this. I'll give you a verse. You can write it down. We're going to look at some Scripture. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. 15:22, without counsel, purposes or your plans are disappointed. I mean, you got some plans. Well, you ought to get some counsel about it. I got people that move out of our church. I'm going to tell you this tonight. I don't think I've said this yet. I may have said it to your pastor. But I've had people leave our church, just come up to me on a Thursday night. That's when we have our midweek service. I'm up on here on the sitting down up here after the service or something, and come up to me and say, "Well, we'll be leaving next week." I says, "Where are you going?" "We're going over here, get a job over here. You know, is there a church there?" "Well, yeah, I think there is." "You dummy! Oh, I'm thinking in my, oh, what's wrong with you? Have you not been listening? I mean, in one ear, out the other." I preach on that. I say, if you're gonna move, the first thing you ought to do is look for a church. I bet your pastor said that. Has he ever said that?
Oh, yeah, he says it all the time.
Amen. Well, he's right. Your spiritual life is more important than anything else. Without counsel purposes, I could tell you names tonight. I don't want to, because somebody might get the tape and I don't want to hurt them too bad. That have left, not found a church. Well, they found one, but it wasn't just like the one they left. And you won't find another church like this around. Now, some of you know that because you came from one of those duddy churches. And you come to church like this, you start learning the Bible, and you understand, you get a handle of stuff on the thing. And they said, get there, and said, I tell you, they want us to get baptized again. I said, well, good. You deserve it. I'm not nice sometimes. I mean, the guy calls me up one time, he says, "Hey, my dog died." And I says, "Does that dog go to heaven?" I says, "No, your dog probably went to hell." That Christian guy. You say, "Why'd you say that?" Because if you're a Christian and you ought to know that, if you read your Bible, you ought to know that. If you're that stupid, you deserve a stupid answer. I says, "That dog's down there. Don't you ever read in the Bible? It says weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's those dogs down there." Oh, man. Who said the ministry is boring? You know, it is not boring. And I don't know where I was. Sometimes it's your own fault because you get disappointed. Now, here's what Rush said one day. I remember where he said this. I was listening. I don't listen to him as a rule. I mean, maybe on the way home from my office. And then I can't even stand him anymore. I mean, I really can't. It's a waste of time. You know, same old, okay? So, anyway, this is a number of years ago. And he said this. And I know right where I was in town. I came up to a stoplight. And he said this. Disappointment is not a crisis. I'll write that down. Disappointment is not a crisis. Disappointment is not a crisis. It only is a crisis if you allow it to decline to discouragement. Are you following me? It's not a crisis. We're all disappointed. You were disappointed, like I said. You got disappointed when you saw that first gray hair. Amen. Or that first wrinkle. Or whatever. You're disappointed. We get disappointed with our children and their behavior. We get disappointed with our spouse. And there's a lot of disappointments in life. Every day. But they're not a crisis until they go down to discouragement. Because when you're discouraged, you're well nigh gone. You ain't worth shooting when you're discouraged. Now, take your Bible then and go over to Numbers chapter 20. Go to Numbers chapter 20. Let's go over there. Let's go how this thing started. Look at Numbers chapter 20. And notice in verse number 2. And there was no water for the congregation in Numbers chapter 20. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and the people chode. They rebuked them. They blamed them. They uttered words of displeasure. They found fault. They contended angrily. And they chode with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle die there?" You know it was their fault they were there in the first place, in the wilderness. And we'll get to that in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 tonight. But look at verse 5. "And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? And it is of no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink." They're the ones that made that choice not to go into the land that was overflowing with milk and honey. They're the ones. Back here at verse number 6. "And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory..." Listen, that's where you ought to go when you got a problem. That's the first place you ought to go, is on your faces and calling upon the Lord. Moses had a good habit of doing that. And he says, "And they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and smite ye unto the..." What? Did I change the Bible? Come on, help me. Are you guys up? Amen? And what unto the rock? "Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth..." His. Oh, you know that rock that followed them was Christ. His, right? Oh, yeah, you know that, don't you? Your pastor's taught you that. I mean, he'd already smote the rock one time back, I don't know, whenever it was, or earlier chapter when they wanted water. Remember that? I think it was, I can't remember what chapter it was. Somebody else, you can figure it out. But it's before this. And that, of course, that rock was a type of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was smitten of God. Amen. For your sins. And he only has to be smitten or crucified one time. And so he says, "Now you want something out of the rock now? You want something out of him now? All you got to do is speak. You don't crucify him again, like a certain church does every Sunday." Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Now, early mass, late middle mass, and late mass, and Saturday night mass. All right. And so look at it. He says again, verse number 8, "Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, and thou Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water." And that's great how the Bible's put together. I mean, that points to Christ. You know it. And he says, "And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." Now Moses, I'm going to submit to you tonight, was disappointed because of their continual unbelief in the face of all the previous miracles that they coming out. I mean, while they were in Egypt, coming out of Egypt, and then of course the departing of the Red Sea, and on and on. And Moses, I'm going to submit to you tonight that Moses was disappointed. And wouldn't you have been disappointed? Huh? Pastor, I'm sorry. I'm going to use the pastor. Pastor, he gets disappointed. He tells you stuff. Whoa. Oh, sorry. I knew something was going to happen. This was not going to be good. I got a bigger pulpit. He tells you stuff, buying books, and you never read them. Don't you know what that does to your preacher? It disappoints him. Now, he's got to watch out that it doesn't discourage him. Because when he gets discouraged, he's going to do something stupid. Because we all do something stupid when we're discouraged. I'm going to show you that tonight. Moses did. Look what he said in verse number 10. Verse number 9. "And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod. He smote the rock twice,
and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. He lost his cool, and he lost his inheritance. Now take your Bible, go over here to Numbers chapter 21, just chapter right over. I say to you tonight, discouragement is going to cause you to do something stupid, something you are going to regret. You think Moses regretted that? Come on. Huh? Don't you think he says, God says, behold the land. I mean, he's been leading these people for 40 years, followed the calling of God back from Exodus chapter 3, and has gone through all of this, and now he can't get into the land that he's been looking forward to. Disappointed. Look at Numbers chapter 21. Let us give you a few things here tonight and see what you can get out of it, okay? Look at verse number 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea. Kept going. To compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much what? Discouraged because of the way. They were discouraged. Well, it's not what we thought. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too long. They were not what they expected. Right? And discouragement, again, is the loss of courage, the loss of strength. I'm submitting to you again that they were disappointed before they got discouraged. Because it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. They thought it was just going to be kind of a piece of cake, and they got discouraged because of the way. And notice verse number 5, what they did. Listen, you get discouraged, and it'll cause you to say something, say the wrong thing. Say the wrong thing. Have you ever put your foot in your mouth? Now, I don't know how you do that. I don't know. I mean, it has to be a figure of speech. But I've literally done it many times. And notice it says in verse number 5, and the people spake against who? Whoa! I wouldn't think that anybody in this congregation that you've really spake against God in your sanctified state that you are in now. I mean sanctified in Christ, you understand? And spake against God, but they did. They spake against God and against Moses and said, wherefore have ye brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord, look at verse number 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. You know, when you get discouraged, you'll say the wrong thing. They shouldn't have spake against God. You know the result? You saw the result. God sent fiery serpents, bit them. And one thing I saw about this, that's always good, is that God always has a remedy. God's so gracious. I mean, you know, see what he did? You know what he did to the rest of the verse. I mean, the rest, right? The next 3-4 verses, he made that brazen serpent. If anybody was stung with a snake, I mean, they look at that brazen serpent, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, you know. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life, right? John chapter what? Thank you. And God's good. But I'm telling you tonight that when you get discouraged, hey, you know what Elijah did one time? Right after he had that big, thing with on Mount Carmel, and killed 850 of the false prophets. Then Jezebel says, I'm going to get that guy. He went and, oh boy, this is work for last night. He went and sat down under the juniper tree. And you know what he said? He said, take away my life. Take away my life. You better say the wrong thing. You know what happened? He didn't get that request. He will get it in the tribulation. But guess what? For all practical purposes, he was done. You ever read 1 Kings chapter 19? Just read the last 4 or 5 verses. You know what happened? He went and got Elisha to, God told him to go get Elisha to replace him. He was done. Why? Because he got discouraged, said the wrong thing. Now, I remember I went to Missoula in 1988, January 3rd. January 3rd, went to church down in Lolo at another Bible-believing church. That I talked to the fellow on the phone. January 7th, started a church in our living room, seven people. Next Sunday, we had a service at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in their chapel. They don't meet on Sunday. You know that. And then we went from there. We went to a Christian school band room. And we went in there and had services there, and we grew to about 30 or 40 people. I had that our church up to 40 people 8 times, and every time I got up to 40, something would happen, and I'd lose 15 or 20 people. I hate it. I said, Lord, let's go from 35 to 45. I mean, I don't want to get to 40, because, I mean, every time, it's going to happen. And it did. Anyway, from that band room, we went over to a building. And it was used to be an office building. It was a flat, one-story building. Maybe about, the ceiling was only about, to the top of the roof was probably about 9 feet, 9, 10 feet. And it was an office building. And it was like an H. Like this, here's the two sides, and here's the middle part, the horizontal part, and that had bathrooms, and each part of that H had 3,500 square feet. It was 14,000 square feet, and we had one of those little, we had the bottom one, 3,500 square feet, but it was a long hallway, about 150 feet, and it was about this wide. And then it was offices, and we knocked out some walls, and our auditorium was about 15 by 70. It was just like a long tunnel. And there was nobody else. There were some charismatics in one corner, but that's a long story. But thing is charismatics in another part of the H up there, kitty corner from us, with a woman and a man, husband and wife team pastor. Oh, actually, it was her. She was the pastor. And anyway... no heat in that place. I mean, there was just no heat. The furnace just was way down the other end and didn't have it hooked up right or whatever. It had been a forced service hospital. I had to heat the place with space heaters. And then I'd blow circuits all the time. And, people would come to church. Some of you people don't come to church right on time or come in late. But I'll tell you what, everybody came to our church early so they'd get by a heater. And... I remember one time that, I went out one day on a Saturday, and I had an 81 Chevy Oldsmobile with a diesel engine, a lemon. And I went out, and I had won a guy to the Lord. And it was about 25 degrees that day, or maybe 30. Maybe it might have been a little higher. But that night, I know what happened. Right after I left that guy, led that guy to the Lord, I came to one of the busiest intersections in Missoula, and I dropped the transmission. And I nursed the thing home, okay? And I just want a guy to the Lord, praise the Lord. And I had to nurse that thing. I couldn't drive it. And my landlord said, you can drive my car. He had a 68. Buick Cutlass with a little hardtop, and you know what that is, some of you guys. And he lived right across the street. That night, the temperature dropped to 25 below. And I got out the next morning, about 5 o'clock. I started that car. I tried to start the car. It wouldn't start. And I went back in the house, came back out, tried to start. I mean, I killed it. And... I had to get these heaters on. So the church was about a mile and a half away. So I had to ride my girl's pink bicycle. My 10-year-old girl, pink bicycle. I mean, you're riding it like this. And, I used to have a thing against pink. I don't anymore. I wear a pink tie now because I'm not going to let the queers ruin a good color. And, amen, I've always liked pink. Are you wearing pink? That's what the queer... I'm not going to let them ruin a good color. I like a wild prairie rose, I like that pink color. And anyway, I'm riding that pink bicycle. I rode that thing all the way over to the church. And I turned on all the space heaters. And I rode that thing back, tried to start the car again. It wouldn't. I thought, well, maybe the car heated up by now, but I could start and didn't warm up. As I walked in the garage, we had a attached garage. My wife came out the kitchen door there into the garage. I kicked the bucket. And I said, I'm not going to church today. She says, you got to. You're the pastor. Now, that was a stupid thing to say, wasn't it? That was a dumb thing to say. I'm telling you, when you get discouraged, I was discouraged. When a guy to the Lord and my car breaks down. Then the next day, I got to ride my girl's pink bicycle. And then that day, by the way, we took an offering, and it was $3. And it was my $3. I'm not going to church today. Now, I always go to church. I just said something stupid. Well, I'm just saying, when you get disappointed and you let it go down to discouragement, you will say the wrong thing. Now, I want to tell you something else. Look over here in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Do you have disappointments in your life? Don't let them go down. Don't let them decline. Maybe you can think of a better word for that. I say, don't let disappointment decline to discouragement. What is it, James? Disintegrate. Degrade. Anything else, folks? Help me out for the next time I preach this message. What? Deteriorate. That'll work. Yes. Thank you, brother. Don't let your disappointment deteriorate to discouragement, because you'll say the wrong thing. You might even think the wrong thing. Look it over here to Matthew chapter 11. Now look at this. Look at this. Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse number 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And notice what he said. And he said unto them, Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Now, I know that John was disappointed. I know he was. I know he's disappointed because, you know what? He preached that repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached that Jesus Christ was going to set up the kingdom. Would he have if the Jews repented and trust and believed that he was the Messiah? Talk to me. Sure would have. But it hadn't happened. Well, here, so what am I doing in jail then? If you're supposed to set up your kingdom. Now, I'll tell you something. Jail can be very discouraging. I don't hear any amens. I guess we got a bunch of guys never been in jail. Well, you're looking at old jailbird. I've been in jail a good number of times. More than I'd like. Not since I've been saved. It's discouraging. I mean, when they clang that door behind you and you hear that those things clang, that's depressing. And John's in jail. And he sends his disciples, and he said, in verse number 3, he says, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? You know what you're thinking gets messed up when you get discouraged. And doubt enters in. He said, why am I in jail if you're setting up your kingdom? I thought it was supposed to be a peaceful kingdom. Everything's hunky-dory and all of that. I mean, you'll doubt, which is the opposite of faith. And you'll doubt God's love. You'll doubt God's calling. You'll doubt God's promises when you get discouraged. Your thinking will get messed up. Notice something else. Look at verse number 4. He said, Jesus answered and said to them, Go and show John again. Those things which ye do hear and see. Sometimes we need to be told again some things. He says, go on. Well, what's happening? Well, the blind, verse number 5, receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Things are still happening. And he says, P.S., right?
Here's the Lord knows how to stick it in. He said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me like you are, John. John was discouraged. His thinking got messed up. It could be this too. It could be that Christ hasn't set up his kingdom yet that John was preaching about, and John was getting a little impatient. Nonetheless, he doubted God. He doubted Jesus Christ. His thinking got messed up. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God called me to Missoula, Montana. And I was in Bismarck for almost 6 years. There where Spencer Baker, you know that, it was. And I made a lot of mistakes. And the people that are still in that church, they could probably tell you. I was just a rookie and, just made some mistakes. I still make some mistakes. And I went to Missoula, started that church, as I said. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do some of the dumb things I did back in Bismarck. You ever done that? I'm not going to make the same mistakes again. Well, I did lot different. I didn't do some of the things that I did that got me in trouble and making a mess out of some things over there in Bismarck. And still, nothing happened. People weren't coming to church. The church wasn't growing. I'm thinking, I got a little discouraged. And I wanted to leave Missoula. And I doubted God's call. I knew that he had called me there. When I was praying about it, God laid on my heart Missoula. I talked to another fellow that had been there, and there was no church there. I called a fellow that lived up there. I says, what town needs a church? And the first thing out of his mouth was Missoula. But I got discouraged. And I thought, I doubted God's call. Hey, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And I wanted to leave. Well, I thank God that I didn't, okay? I went and met with about Brother Nathan Bemis, and he encouraged me to stick it out. And I'm glad I did, because some good things have happened there. And I'm just saying tonight to you, when you get discouraged, you might think the wrong thing. You might doubt God's love. You might doubt God's calling. You might doubt God's promises. Now take your Bible, go back here to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Show you something else. Numbers chapter 13. You know, your pastor said earlier, in an introduction tonight, that I'm a he likes to have pastors in, and he has these evangelists in, you know what a pastor wants to do, and an evangelist does. And it's just my heart here is just to give you something that'll encourage you. Because you go through disappointments. And you've let those disappointments deteriorate into discouragement. And you've thought some wrong things, and you've done some wrong things, and you've said some wrong things that you wish you wouldn't have. And you kind of kick yourself. All right, look at Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, it's a sad chapter to me, because here's where Moses sends out the spies to go search the land of Canaan. And, of course, he sends out 12. And they come back, and pick it up at verse number 26. And they went, after they'd been in the land, and came to Moses and to Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. The fruit of the land. I mean, they got those grapes of Eshcol. Where are the grapes of Eshcol? Right. I want that mountain. And verse number 23. They were so big they had to put a staff on them to carry them. Boy, those are some nice grapes. Okay. I can't wait to get to in the millennium and eat some of those big grapes, seedless. And verse number 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. I wish they wouldn't have said this. Nevertheless,
The people is strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan. Do you know what Moses told them to do? Look at verse number 18. He says, see the land what it is. Look at verse number 19. And what the land is. And notice in verse middle of verse number 19. And what cities they be. And verse number 20. And what the land is. You know what they came back? They came back and they said, they came back instead of telling them what the land was, what the cities were, they came back, how are we going to do this? How? Because look what they said. He said in verse number 29, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people. He says, all right, let's hold it up here, boys. And he said before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I guess Caleb, I like Caleb. Amen. I like Caleb and Joshua. They wholly followed the Lord. And they said, hey, we can take this place. I mean, you know what's in the back of Caleb's mind? What God has already done. He's seen all what God has already done. And he knows that we can take this land. God said we could have this land. And notice in verse number 31. But the men that went, that were, now by the way, there were two there. Joshua and Caleb. You know that. And then there were these other 10. Look at verse number 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able. We be not able. I hate that. I can't quit. I can't quit this. I can't do this. I hate that. You know, I mean, I can do all things through Christ. We be not able. We be not able. God's not with us anymore. God's with them. He said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. But your God is stronger than them. See? They're talking about how we're going to do this. Moses said, go see what it is. And notice verse number 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched under the children of Israel. Hold your place right here. Go to Numbers chapter 32. They brought up an evil report. Now notice what it did. Notice what it did. Numbers chapter 32, and notice verse number 6. And when the children of Gad and Asher, Gad and Reuben and the half tribe of Manasseh wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan. Remember that? And they came over there and they talked to Moses in verse number 5, bring us not over Jordan, because they wanted that place over there because it was well watered and for the herds, etc. And notice what Moses said. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren, I gave you this verse last night, shall your brethren go to war and shall ye sit here? And wherefore what? Discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over unto the land which the Lord hath given them. Watch this now. This is 40 years later. He said, thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh to see the land. What did your fathers do? They discouraged the hearts of the people. Right? I'll say to you tonight that before they discouraged the hearts of the people, they were discouraged themselves. Go back here to Numbers chapter 32. Well, actually, look at verse number 9. You got to see verse number 9. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel that they should not go into the land which the Lord had given them. Go back here to Numbers chapter 13. And so they brought up in verse number 32, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, watch this now. He said, the children of Israel, saying, the land which through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are men of great stature. Oh, yeah, okay. We got man-eating plants. We got, amen? It says, hey, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants. Where do you get that? You know what, when you get discouraged, you know what happens? You start imagining things. Yes, you do. You think, you get discouraged about something and say, why did he look at me? I bet. And your imagination runs wild on you. There's no such thing as land eating up the inhabitants. Now, I know over there, Numbers chapter 16, might see that later on in another message, where the earth opened its mouth and got Dathan and his crew there. But that's not what they saw. They're like making this thing up. They imagined this thing. Why? Because they were discouraged. Not only that, look at verse 33. And there we saw the giants, there they are, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as what? Now that's a real whopper. I mean, you know, I don't know. I know grasshoppers, they grow. Nah, you probably don't get them around here, you got mosquitoes. But back where I grew up, we got grasshoppers. They probably get about like that, about a 3/4 inch. Let's just say a 1/2 inch. Amen? If you're 6 foot, if I'm 6 foot, I'm 6 foot. And that means those giants are 72 feet tall. I mean, talk about Jack and the Beanstalk. Amen. Talk about a Goliath. He beats Goliaths. That's your imagination running wild. We're like grasshoppers. They're 72 feet tall. Notice what that did to them. Verse 33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And notice verse number, what you do, you make a mountain out of a molehill. And look at verse number 14, chapter number 14, verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. I'm telling you tonight, when you get discouraged, you not only do the wrong thing, you not only say the wrong thing, you not only think the wrong thing, you imagine the wrong thing. And you know what it'll do? When you get discouraged, it'll rack your emotions. They wept all night. It'll mess you up. You better not get discouraged. You will be disappointed. You're probably disappointed in this message. Don't let it deteriorate to discouragement. I ain't going back to church. I ain't going back here. Notice verse number 2. And the children of Israel murmured against what? Moses. He gave his life for these people almost. It'll turn you on their leadership. You get discouraged and start imagining things, it'll turn you on your leadership. Are you with me? It did there. Look at it again. He said, they murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation and said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? Of course, they get that request. And wherewith hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Ha! You know what? When you get discouraged, you start imagining the wrong thing. It'll rack your emotions. It'll turn you on leadership. And it'll make you and cause you to think about going back to the things that God saved you from in the first place. And I've seen it. I've seen it. All right, did you get that? Should I say that again? Nobody wants me to say it again. All right. Not only that, look at verse number 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. They want a different leader. They want a new pastor. Amen. They want someone else to lead them. And I'll tell you what, that radio preacher, that TV preacher, that tape ministry preacher, they might lead you the wrong way. You better not let your disappointment just deteriorate to discouragement. I asked something. You know what they had to do? They had to go in the wilderness for 40 years. Those kids, a 15-year-old kid, goes in there, he's 55 when he comes out. Right? The prime of their life in the wilderness. Your sin... And you're getting discouraged and doing something wrong, not only affects you, it affects somebody else. Now take your Bible, and I want you to go over here to, I want to finish this up, and go over here to Psalm 42. I don't know about you tonight. I'm sure some of you may be discouraged tonight. Come on, church like this, 100 people, whatever you got here tonight, you know, you've been disappointed, and you allowed that to turn to discouragement. And you may have said the wrong thing, you might have done the wrong thing, you may have thought the wrong thing, you might have, your imagination is just playing, your mind is just playing games with you, and you got things going on there that really aren't so, and you're blowing things out of proportion. We're good at that. And so we said, what do I do? Well, hope for the best and expect the worst. Amen? I mean, hope is an expectation, and expect to be disappointed. You know, people thought, well, oh, we're going to get George Bush. He's a Christian. Hello. I read the book. I sent him a New Testament. I heard he was a Christian, and he may be. And I sent him a New Testament. I found out where he was down there in Austin. I called his secretary down there, and it was a male secretary and guy that was said he was saved. And I told him who I was. I says, where's his personal P.O. box? And I sent him, I got his personal P.O. box, and I went down and I got him a nice little New Testament, leather, King James Bible, and had it personalized, put his name on there, and sent it down, wrote him a little note in there, and I thought, well, boy, this is really going to be good. We're going to have a Christian president. Huh? Boy, let me in the White House. Man, I'm saved. I'm Bible. Oh, what I have. Ooh, I would just, I would, oh, heads would roll. And he has the power to do it. Why didn't you? Amen. Why'd I say that? Oh, hope for the best. Expect the worst. That was a disappointment to me. Was it not a disappointment to some of you? I know you weren't disappointed in Obama. disgusted, he says. But I was disappointed. I think the next guy, I don't care if it's Rick Perry, I don't care if it's whoever says he's a Christian, they all say there's Christians about this time of year. Hey, man, they all say that to get your vote. The hope's not there. It's right here. It's in him. Look at Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and we'll go to a couple more scripture, and we'll be done. Psalm 42. Psalm 42, look at verse number 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for a God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? I mean, going through it. Have you ever gone through it, and people say, well, where's your God now? And he said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept hold of thee. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is for the help of his countenance. Just a little old smile. Hope thou in God. Make God your greatest expectation, and you'll never be disappointed. Come on now! I mean, Senator so-and-so, or Speaker so-and-so, or President so-and-so, foy on that business. Make God your... Listen, your pastor will disappoint you. Amen. He'll disappoint you. I'll disappoint you. Your wife will disappoint you. Your husband will disappoint you. Your kids will disappoint you. Your parents. I mean, every which way, man. Hello. Disappoint you? God will never disappoint you. Take your Bible, go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Let's go there.
Pretty simple message, isn't it? I hope you got something out of it. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And notice this. 1 Samuel chapter 30, and look at verse... well, you know what happens here. David comes back from up there someplace in chapter number 29 and came to Ziklag. And the Amalekites had come in, took their wives and their goods. And it says in verse number 10, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Wow. Man, come home and your wife's gone, and goods are gone, your kids are gone. That's something. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly sad, distressed. He was stressed out. It got to him. For why? For the people spake of stoning. I mean, that's something. What a way to pay him back. I mean, these are the guys that came to him that were in debt and discontented. Remember back in chapter 22? And David helped them and they joined up with David. And for the people spake of stoning. I mean, he turned on them. In other words, that would get, after your pastor helps you and all through your little trials and tribulations, and he does and ought to, blah, 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 and that's all part of the ministry. And then when just something doesn't quite go right, you turn on him. That's not even right. That's wicked. Happens all the time. It's happened to me. It's happened to him. For the people's sake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people is grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But in David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's it, man. Before that distress and disappointment and these guys turning on him got too far gone, he encouraged himself. That's what you got to do. You got to pick it up. You got to catch the thing when it's a disappointment. And don't let it deteriorate to discouragement. And pick it up and encourage yourself in the Lord, your God. What He's done. What has He done for you? What has He done for you? Think about it. Has He saved you? Has He forgiven you for every sin? What's He doing right now? He's delivering you. You got the victory over cigarettes, your cussing, your pornography, your alcohol, your temper. You got victories now. What's He going to do for you? Well, He's coming back to get you. There's a lot to encourage yourself and the Lord your God about. And get happy about it. I'm going to show you one thing, one last thing. Look over here to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I tell you, this came to me, I don't know, I guess, just the other day. Well, I've seen it before, but... man, you got to encourage yourself. You better discipline yourself to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. You know what? I got a lot of disappointments. I've had. I get them all the time. I tell you, know what I got to do? I said, Lord, you know what I have to say sometimes? I walk down the aisle in my church, and Brother Stevens has been there. It's a little longer than this, not as wide as this, doesn't hold as much as this, and I'll go down. Lord, I don't understand. Why is this going on like this? Lord, why are these people acting this way? Yeah, you know that, how that is. And I'm saying, Lord, oh, then I come to this. Here's what I got to do. This is your church, Lord. It ain't my church. I encourage myself. It's his church. You want to let the thing fold up and blow up? Fine. You know Brother DeMichael. Got 1,500 people in his church. And he says, I think this thing could fall apart any day. I'm thinking, shoot. Well, give me a few of those fallouts or something. I mean, I got 100 people. And I think, well, if this thing goes, it's like a domino effect. You know, this is going to happen. And I my thinking gets all messed up, and I just have to encourage myself. This is your church. Thank you for saving me. God, you've done some great things. You're coming again. I mean, I just got to encourage myself in the Lord my God. And that's what you got to do when you get disappointed. Look at Luke chapter 1. And then I'm done. And I don't mean 20 minutes. Now look at verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod the king in Judea a certain priest named Zacharias,
of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both, I like that both, righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And the Lord, they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Stop right there. Here is Zacharias and Elizabeth. You think they got some disappointments? Well, first of all, they're under Rome. They're under an oppressive government, like your government's becoming. Amen. Every day. They were under an apostate priesthood, which we're in, an apostate. The body of Christ is completely, just about completely shot through with apostasy. They were getting old. And they had no child. Now that's a disappointment. In fact, it's called a reproach. She said, "The Lord, when they did conceive after, you know the story, that she did conceive, she went over to their marriage and said, 'The Lord hath taken away my reproach.'" No child. That's a great disappointment. I know a lot of people could never have children. Disappointment. I'll tell you something. They weren't discouraged, because they kept on going. Look at verse number 6. It says they were both righteous before God, walking in the commandments and of the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And verse number 8, and it came to pass while he kept on executing the office of the priest, kept on serving God, even though there were great disappointments in their life. They had not allowed them to disintegrate to discouragement. And that's how it ought to be here. I hope this will help you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. What are you disappointed about tonight? Take it to the Lord in prayer. Say, "Lord, please, I am disappointed." Sure, admit it, acknowledge it. Yes, something disappointed you. Didn't get that particular job, or failed you, or did you wrong? Offended you? And you're disappointed. Take to the Lord. Say, "Lord, please help this not to go to discourage you, because I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to think the wrong thing. I don't want to imagine the wrong thing. I'll just go on serving you." All right.
Invitation is obvious here tonight. The Lord spoke to you. Why don't you come? Have a little time alone down here. Nobody has to go down the list of all the things that you've been disappointed by and could be discouraged by. Boy, folks, you're in a war. You know that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a war. It is a war. And there are casualties in war. And people get shot and people get wounded. People get killed. People quit. People surrender. And somehow you have to keep your wits about you so it's not you. folks, before we stand and sing here for a little while tonight, you know, I don't know how you could have dodged the bullets fired here this week already. We're three nights deep into a five-day meeting. And, I mean, we've all gotten hit here this week already. Maybe you haven't made the right surrender yet. Maybe you haven't made the right commitment, made the right move, actually stood up upon thy two feet and made a trip down the aisle to an altar. Maybe apologize to God for something. Or make sure that you clear the air between you and Him. If you haven't, let me encourage you to do that. Remember, this whole thing started, we were preaching last Sunday night about, or Sunday morning actually, about renewing. And there are some things you can't control. You can't control the sweeping wave of revival. You don't get to call that up out of your own will. Thousands of people changed. Thousands of problems solved. But you do get to control whether you are renewed in the spirit of your mind. You do get to call that. Now, if you've missed an opportunity already this week, let me encourage you tonight to take the opportunity and actually move on it. The land is filled with too many Christians that are Fifth Amendment Christians. Now, Elijah spoke to Israel, and they answered him not a word. They stood there and waited for something to happen. And listen, you need to be committed to the Lord before something happens. He doesn't have to prove anything else to you. You need to believe in Him. And the rapture hasn't happened yet. And I know after the rapture, you're going to believe then. I know. Look, you need to trust Him now. You need to make a move now on some of these things that the Lord deals with you about in your spirit. With that in mind, let's stand. I'm going to sing number 359. The invitation is still open. Altar is still open. I hope you'll come if you need to. Number 359. Amen. Good. All right. Remind you of the three cards in back there for Ellen, Ian, and Jacqueline. Visitation tomorrow at 11. And a little bird tells me it's somebody's birthday today. Sit somewhere on the front row. I think she's 32. I didn't set it up. They made me do it. Today's Renee's birthday. We have cake. And so we're going to sing happy birthday and be dismissed and have cake. I think she's 32. All right. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. She's going to be mad at me now. All right, we're going to pray and be dismissed, then you guys can get a quick piece of cake. We'll see you back here at 11 in the morning, Lord willing, or 7 tomorrow night, or preferably both. Amen. Brother Dave, would you close us, please?
Father, just so grateful for what we've heard these last three nights. And Lord, these times can be disappointing. And yet, Father, please, God, help us not turn into discouragement that we dishonor you and grieve your Holy Spirit, but help us be strong and valiant and help us to look to you and be strengthened as David was in this horrendous times, Lord. Lord, just please help us to honor strength in you and
amen. God bless you. Get some cake.